We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, what is going on, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Talking Buffalo Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Patrick Moran. Thank you, as always, for locking in, whether it's on the audio side, on Spotify or Apple, or on the video side via YouTube. Appreciate you all. Going to get back to business today, talking sports. It's what I primarily like to do anyway. Times are shitty here in Buffalo. Never suspected that the president of the United States would be coming to visit my hometown on a Tuesday, but sadly, and as we all know, it's for all the wrong reasons, man. Really shitty time, really sad time here in Buffalo. But anyway, I'm joined by a good buddy, recurring guest from Buffalo, lives in Queens now, of course, but you know Buffalo as well as anybody. Joe, what's going on, dude? How you doing?
Good, man. How's it going with you?
Well, not great. You know, it's not a beaming time to be proud to be in Buffalo right now. I'm sure you know that as well as everybody, but
I can't even. I know we're like, I know you did a show about this a couple days ago, and it's just like, I could spend like another hour on here talking about this whole thing and expletive this, expletive that, and I can't articulate. I just can't articulate just how enraging it is that like we still have this sort of bullshit in this country, and with guns, with racism, with critical race theory being debated and all this sort of nonsense. And it's like, we could just go into wormhole after wormhole about it. And it's sick and tiring. And I really, you know, there really isn't any hope. And all it is really is, it feels like it's going to become just a bunch of cliches, some hashtags, you know, maybe there'll be some change, but it's not going to be much. And it's just like, it was a horrible day in Buffalo history, since the president got shot there, like, you know, 100 years ago, whatever the hell that was, like, that's how bad of a day that was. And there is no like optimism. And I feel horrible for the people who really do care. And obviously for the victims of the families and those poor people who just fucking were going there to go shop for produce and get shot, you know, because some jackass. I'm not going to get into it, but it's just, I feel for everyone. And it just sucks. But I feel like there's a solution here, but no one really, like, just too many people are arguing about it, you know, and it's just frustrating because there is a solution to this.
Yeah. I agree 100%. And to your point, I did a podcast Monday and I felt it and I'm still feeling it. I know you are, and I know a lot of people watching on YouTube or listening are as well. We talked a little bit before we started taping too. And again, it's not easy to do, but people for the most part who are tuning in, they do want to, whether you want to just call it a break or whether they just want to hear about sports, you know? And so what I did and decided to do for this episode, and this is going to be actually a two-part episode, part two will carry next week, but I went on Twitter. And again, I'm just desperate to just talk some football, you know? And I put up a tweet and I asked Bills fans, and I'm going to throw it up here. If you're watching this on the YouTube side, all these tweets will be visual. If not, I'll describe them as best I can on the audio side. But I took to Twitter and I asked fans, I said, I'm looking for your boldest Bills and or NFL 2022 season takes. And then I said, I'll start and I'll get into mine in a second. But I just want to let you know, man, it's as we're recording this, and it's still the first night that I did, there's like almost 200 responses.
Wow.
I got between today and next week, at least close to 50 that I want to highlight. And, you know, we'll have a take or two of our own. But the way I want this to work is I want to highlight the people that submitted some tweets, read what they said, and then I'll get a reaction either from you or from myself or from both of us. And that'll be the format. I think this is a good way to get people who listen to the podcast involved in the show. So we'll see how this goes. But anyway, like I said, I asked.
We just want to shit on your opinions. That's what this is all about. We're just
probably.
At least I am.
And let me preface this too. I did say boldest. I think it's important to throw that word out there. I didn't say your most, like, you know, your realistic expectations for the season. These are supposed to be bold. That's what they're designed for. Anyway, I said, I'll start. And for the Bills, I have Gabe Davis having over 1,000 yards receiving this year. And from a league-wide perspective, I got the New England Patriots finishing dead last in the AFC East. Now, since I started this with my own take, I'll say this, and in response to Gabe Davis, and I got several, and I think one or two of them I'll highlight in a minute. People, the prevailing response was that's not really that bold of a take, which I don't really agree with that. He's your second wide receiver. Your primary wide receiver is one of the best in the NFL. This is an offense that is absolutely loaded with weapons and depth now. And as a quarterback who's capable of running for 500 to 700 yards over the course of a season, and the last time the Bills had two wide receivers who had over 1,000 yards in the same season, you have to go all the way back to 2002 with Eric Moulds and Perlis Price. So I think that's, I mean, it's not the boldest take ever, but I think it's kind of a semi-bold take. And as for the Patriots finishing last in the AFC East, I mean, there's a lot of people, and I think you'll see in some of these tweets who actually, I'm surprised, they actually agree with me. I mean, this is a playoff team from last year, but I just was not that impressed with them. I don't think they're that good. I think they had a pretty shitty offseason. I don't think they did much in the draft. Miami is loaded, and it's going to come down to the quarterback play, and we'll be talking about that throughout tonight and next week because there's plenty of tweets that discuss that. I think the Jets are a much better football team. They've had 2 years of now of getting good young players through the draft and free agency. So if Zach Wilson could take that next step, I think the Jets could be pretty good. And again, people are going to have takes on that as well. But I guess the primary thing is Gabe Davis, 1,000 yards. A, do you see that happening? And B, how bold do you consider that?
I do see him doing that. I don't think it's a bold take at all, primarily because if Josh Allen is a 4,000-yard quarterback, which I think we can safe to say he is, like someone's got – where's the math going with receiving? I think the Bills' wide receiver core – is a little bit thinner than it was last year. Cole Beasley's gone, you know, and now like Crowder's in there, but I don't know how Crowder's going to be, you know. And I think, look at it this way: Cole Beasley almost was like six. If Cole Beasley didn't get hurt 2 years ago, he would have had 1,000 yards, you know, and they would have had 2 1,000-yard wide receivers with Beasley and Diggs. So I feel Gabe is going to be the de facto number two guy. Well, that number two guy does get a lot of yards. And I think it thinned out a little bit the wide receiver position. At least I feel like it has, where, you know, if the Bills are going to run a little bit more too tight end offense, which I feel like they're going to do, that means like there's going to be what, 2 wide receivers on the field. So I feel like, I don't think that's that bold of a take.
All right. That's fair.
But at the same time, I don't think it's because like Gabe Davis is like this like specimen monster guy. I don't think getting 1,000 yards receiving is that big of a deal anymore in the NFL because of the way these teams pass. They just pass all the freaking time. You know, the Chiefs always have 2 1,000-yard people. It's always Kelce and Hill. So why can't, you know, it's kind of like, so why can't Davis be that guy? I just think like someone's got to catch the ball. The Bills are a primarily throwing offense. So I don't think that's a bold take.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know if I would agree about the wide receiving unit. I think Crowder and Beasley more than likely is kind of a wash. They drafted a rookie, Shakir, who some people, and we'll find out soon enough, think is going to have a role on this team. But more than that, they got a much better second tight end now with O.J. Howard. They got a running back coming out of the backfield who's expected to catch a lot of passes. I agree, it's not the boldest take ever. But what I don't agree with is you and I have different opinions, I could tell, and not just from today, but from the past too, on Gabriel Davis. I think Gabe Davis is ready to become an absolute stud in the NFL. And I meant that, and I said that, by the way, before last year's Chiefs playoffs game where he just went absolutely bananas. I mean, maybe I was overstepping in a little bit late last season, but I said the dude's going to be the next Mike Evans. That's how much I think of Gabe Davis. He's just got the size, the route running, the hands, he's got the whole package to me. And he's on a team where he's not going to get too much attention, which, of course, makes things a little easier on him as well.
So why is this a bold prediction then, though? If you love Gabe Davis, this shouldn't be a bold
prediction. I said it's not the boldest prediction ever.
It's not. You're a wimp.
And a lot of these, by the way, I'm sure we're going to say that they're not like the boldest prediction ever. And again, I'm going to go through these. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll be able to see them right on the screen.
And real quick, I just wanted to go to your Patriots one. I think the Patriots are that's a bold take. I think right now we're in this weird state where like a lot of your replies and like I think the NFL like is really dumping hard on the Patriots, but the Patriots won 11 games last year. You know, they beat some good. They beat some good teams. I think now it's just kind of like we're laughing at them because like it's one of those like, in a way, like they're the exact opposite of like the Bills in terms of how the season ended, where the Bills were 11-6 going into the playoffs, and I don't think we were all that confident going in against New England. Like I thought they were going to win, but it was like a really weird regular season. Like they beat shitty teams and they were kind of like struggling here and there. And then they crushed New England, and then the momentum got high, and then the whole thing happened with the Chiefs, where the offense was unreal. And I think everyone has like these a lot of the Super Bowl aspirations. I think a lot of it has to do with how they finished the season. Whereas New England, how they finished the season is like their microcosm right now of that one game. Like, oh, they're not good, and well, we're great because we had two really outstanding games to end the season on offense. And I think that's where it's at. I don't believe I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid of the Jets yet.
It's
a bold take, but I don't agree with it. But it's a bold take. I would say it's bold. But I think your audience really loves dumping on the Patriots. You know what I mean? So they're gonna of course agree with you.
I'm
gonna say it's not bold. Anyways, go ahead.
I at least no matter what people think of me, whether they like what I got to say, whether they don't, the one thing I
no
try to be
consistent
with, regardless, I try to be objective, and I would be completely honest. Like, I think Miami, and we're going to talk about them soon, I think they're way better than a lot of people think, including their quarterback. I don't think the Patriots are a good football team. I don't think they're as good as their record was last year, just like there's teams who I think were better than their record was last year. I don't think the Patriots are that good. I think a lot of their talent is older. I'm not high on Mac Jones. And again, they had an offseason where they lost a lot more than they gained. Lots of questions about the Patriots. And it's
sure.
It's about the other teams. Anyway, let's move on. All right. So Jeff S, he tweeted Diggs and Davis are equals by year end. And then he also had an NFL take saying the Bengals missed the playoffs. I don't know about equal, but you just said you don't even think it's that bold.
Yeah.
That Gabe Davis will have 1,000 yards. So maybe equals is a little bit much, which again is bold. Bengals missing the playoffs after going to the Super Bowl. I did a little bit of research here for teams in recent years that went to the Super Bowl and then failed to make the playoffs the next year. And the two teams that came up, the Rams back in 2018, they lost to the Patriots, and then they did not make the playoffs the next year. And the Carolina Panthers got crushed by Denver in the Super Bowl in 2015. And they were 15-1 that year. And then the next year, they did not make the playoffs, which I believe Cam Newton got hurt that year anyway. But so there is some precedent. I don't know, man. And you'll see throughout some of these tweets. By the way, I should have said, too, Joe has seen these tweets for the first time, just like many of you are seeing and listening to him as well. So it's not like he's had time to prepare. But I got to jump in for this one because I don't see the Cincinnati Bengals missing the playoffs. I think this team is really, really good. Their best players are young, and they had an absolutely fantastic offseason. Their offensive line was their problem, and they fixed it, man. They went out and they spent some big-time money, and then I thought they had a really good draft. So I don't see that happening. Again, bold takes, bold predictions, whatever you want to call it. What do you think?
I think it's a bold prediction, but it's like the one thing. It's like bold versus
bold versus asinine. I'm not saying this is asinine, but there is a difference between being bold and being like ridiculous. And there are some that are ridiculous, quite frankly. Here,
I mean, I can totally see that. So I don't know if it's like bold asinine because I like the Bengals, but the AFC is so
sure.
It's so great right now with teams that didn't make it last year. Could you see the Broncos making it? I could. Could you see the Chargers making the playoffs? I could. Could you see the Ravens making the playoffs? I could. Those three teams didn't make the playoffs last year. Yeah. So someone has to like kind of maybe leave the fold. You know what I mean? I mean,
the Colts, it could Miami, be the Bengals. The Colts, like the Miami, there's plenty of them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I don't think there are many. It's going to be, I think when you have take that this team will not make the playoffs outside of like the Bills and maybe the Chiefs. I don't think I would sit there and like go like you're crazy if you said any other team outside of those two because it's such an elite
a lot
conference
of
right now.
Well, again, I want to preface this by saying Joe has not seen a lot of these tweets because there are a lot of people who are not going to agree with what you just said, and you'll see why in just a minute. I would put Cincinnati right there on that first tier. I have Cincinnati on the first tier, right a little bit below Buffalo, so I don't agree. But, yeah, to your point, crazier things have happened, and this is a loaded conference, so you can't dismiss really anything. All right, moving on. At Bills Pro says Josh Allen breaks the single-season touchdown record. Not quite sure. I mean, that's open for a lot of interpretation, but just so everybody's aware, if you're talking about the passing touchdown record, which I'm thinking he is, that was set by Peyton Manning back in 2013 with 55 touchdowns. Josh Allen, I believe, had 36 touchdowns last year. That's a lot of touchdown passes to throw. That's bold as shit. I mean, you're talking about somebody breaking an all-time single-season record. Is it bold? Maybe this game should be called, hey, Joe, is this bold or is this crazy?
What do you think? That, to me, is crazy. I don't think he's breaking the single-season record. I think that's a crazy prediction. Like, no, not going to happen.
He runs too much.
If any of these people have me blocked, by the way, because I don't want to see their tweets if they block.
I'm sure they probably are. There's a chance for sure that a couple of these definitely do. I think that's a little bit nuts. And by the way, there'll be plenty more Josh Allen scattered throughout this episode and part two as well. Like I said, he's gonna throw for touchdowns. There's no question about it, but just that pace, plus, you know, the Bills being a good team. There's a lot of teams on the second half of the schedule. They might get up bigger, and they might run the ball a lot more in the second half. That would be very difficult to, maintain. What you're talking 55 touchdowns over 17 games. You're talking close to 3.5 touchdown passes a game for the season. Not impossible. I mean, when you think about it that way, it's not impossible. But, I don't see that happening either. But, you know, it's bold. That's what we wanted. All right, so here's where things get interesting in this podcast for me, folks. Of all the people, and I understand why, because we don't know anything about them yet on an NFL level. We have not seen them. Bill's second-round pick, James Cook. There's probably more tweets that I got concerning him than any other player on this team. Now, I don't have them all on the screen, but I'm going to put a couple of them. First and foremost here, Jack. Twitter handles at Gene_Paul_Scott says Bills, James Cook, offensive rookie of the year. And then his bold NFL take is the Dallas Cowboys missed the playoffs. And then I'll read the second one as well. JN Hewitt says Cook finishes with more all purpose yards and more TDs than Singletary. And he's got an NFL take as well. The Jets and the Bears both finish around 500. So let's start there. We'll go between Dallas missing the playoffs, Jets and Chicago being around 500. I really don't think that part is very bold. James Cook, though, I mean, people generally speaking, with the exception of one tweet that I think might be up here, they think this guy's going to come in and be like really good right away. And I think he's going to be useful right away. But I caution people who are watching and listening. This guy's not going to be his brother. He's not Dalvin Cook. This, think James White from the Patriots, because that's literally what this guy is. A guy who can really catch the ball coming out of the backfield and bring an element to the Bills offense. But just like James White with New England all these years, ain't going to carry the ball 15, 20 times a game. People are asking for a lot for a rookie player. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a little asinine to say he's going to be rookie of the year. Like, sorry. I think
that's a little, that's
the,
much.
If the Bills were a power running team and like they had a smaller running back room, maybe, sure. But the Bills have proven, and maybe this is me, this is what we've talked about this before, but so it bears repeating. Like, I don't have an issue with like Devin Singletary or Moss as running backs. I have an issue with how the Bills have used them.
Let me add, Joe, before you get into your opinion, another tweet too, because this is very related. So, and it's going to add into what you're saying. His name's Scott at Skojo1318. He tweeted, James Cook thrives in Ken Dorsey's fast-paced offense, totaling double-digit TDs. All right, continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see it right now. But my initial and the problem is like the Bills have shown they have not been great when it comes to either running the football or getting their running backs involved. And I do see their and I think until I see a philosophy where it's like, oh hey, like they are known to get their running backs involved, I don't buy any of these new running backs coming in and just being an impact guy as of right now. And I don't, like, he's a rookie. Like, is he going to play right away? Like, is he, or the whole thing is like, I've had Ajita trying to at times figure out the Bills running back rotation. And I don't think they have not shown me anything in terms of like, they have designed runs where we can see a guy catching like a really uniquely drawn out screen pass. I don't know anything about Ken Dorsey in terms of what he's going to do offensively. If he's going to become like the screen game champion of the world with designing plays for the running backs. I haven't seen any of that. And I think I would tell people relax on the whole getting the running backs involved thing. Cause again, I don't know, like, and I wish someone could do like a piece on this. Like what does it take to be a really good running back wide receiver, you know, out of the backfield? Like what do you need to do well? Do you need to have like good footwork when it comes to running pass patterns? Do you need to have like really good offensive linemen that can kick out and do a screen play? And like, I don't know if he could do that. I've seen the highlights of him at Georgia. And yeah, like one play he's like shooting down like the seam from the backfield, which seems like a very basic route for him. I don't know. But I don't buy the he's going to be this giant rookie of the year, because I really do think they have not proven to me that they know how to use the running backs. But also, I feel they're going to be bipolar and they're going to switch between the three running backs they have right now. It's going to be who's hot, who's not. Anyways,
I agree. I agree with what you're saying there. In terms of Ken Dorsey thriving in his fast-paced offense, and again, we invited people to have bold takes, so I got no problem with anything anybody's saying. We don't know what Ken Dorsey's offense is going to look like, because he's literally never been an offensive coordinator before. So we don't know that. Going back to Jack, who said the Cowboys missed the playoffs, I don't see that happening. However, I do think the Philadelphia Eagles very well could win the NFC East. I think they got a pretty good team. Jets and Bears finishing around 500. I think that would be a little bit of an uphill battle for both teams. I could see them winning maybe 7 games apiece. I think the Jets are going to be significantly better than they were last year for sure. I don't think they're pushovers. And in terms of James Cook, look, let me say this, and I agree with a lot of what you said. Plus, I think people are getting the wrong idea because he was drafted so high. He was brought here for a reason. He was brought here to bring an element to the Bills offense, and that's in the passing game. Even at Georgia in college, this guy was only averaging like 10 carries a game. I don't know why people think he's coming to the NFL and he's going to carry the ball 15 to 20 times. He's not here to replace Devin Singletary or even push him. He's here to bring another element, at least right now anyway, to this offense, which kind of leads to a take from Michael Leisman / the Caveman, which I agree with this first part. His bold prediction, which is kind of bold compared to a lot of what other people are thinking James Cook is going to be this year. He says, I don't think James Cook's role in this offense will cut into Devin's workload as much, if really at all, as some fans may think / want it to. And then he goes, NFL, I got too many, but here's one. Derek Carr better than Joe Burrow. Very close, though. I really don't. I don't agree with that.
No.
That's that. I like Derek Carr too, but I that's kind of like disrespecting Joey Burrow a little bit to me. But anyway, back to his point about Cook. Like I said, I don't think he's going to cut into what Devin Singletary is going to do to this team too much, unless maybe it's a close game in the fourth quarter and the Bills got to throw the ball more.
Also, yeah, keep one thing in mind.
Good.
Quick pack, Pat. How many times have we seen rookie running backs, like, they seem to, like, ease them in? Like, when Singletary was a rookie, remember when we were, like, begging them to play him more and then said they were playing Frank Gore a lot? Like, it was, like, 50-50. And I think part of it was, like, he's a veteran versus, like, you know, like, they kind of wanted to ease him in. Go when Zach Moss was a rookie. He didn't get a lot of – he didn't get, like, that much playing time. Him and Singletary kind of, like, went at it. Like, and I think Zach Moss, if I remember correctly, I don't think he did much the first month of the season. Like, he didn't play all that much. He got hurt, actually, maybe, was what happened. But, like, they – offensively speaking, I don't feel they rushed their guys in, like, right away. Like, you know what I mean? Dawson Knox didn't play that much as a rookie. He played here and there, but it was mostly Aaron Kroft they played more of. So I think it's going to be like, I don't think they're going to rush someone in and just throw them in there like that high up. You know,
I agree. So. I agree. And I also, again, I don't think he's at any point going to be the primary rusher on this football team. And this isn't tweeted, but to me, one of the better, more interesting battles at training camp might be Zach Moss versus Duke Johnson and what route they want. James Cook's, his role is locked in for the Bills. Devin Singletary is locked in. Zach Moss is not. Duke Johnson is not. I would say Zach Moss would have the advantage coming into the season. He might be the backup running back. Or again, I think Cook is going to catch the ball more. Speaking of Devin Singletary, this is, you want to talk about a bold take? I'll give this guy this. Santiago Murldy, he says Singletary plus 2,000 yards for the season. All right. I had to look it up just for the hell of it. The only player ever, or not only, 2,000 yards combined. Obviously, OJ ran for 2,000 yards, but I looked it up. Thurman Thomas, second ballot Hall of Famer, should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. He had 2,000 yards combined from scrimmage in his career twice throughout his entire Hall of Fame career, 91 and 92. I don't see any circumstance on the face of this earth when you got a quarterback who runs like Josh Allen and throws as much as he does. Devin Singletary ain't getting 2,000 yards a season. Bold, yes. Crazy, yes.
Yeah, maybe he's counting preseason and training camp and like
some of last year.
Maybe Singletary's gonna like return kicks and punts. Yeah, I don't.
Let's
see
keep
that,
it going, man. All right, so Hansel at Uber Hansen. All right, some of these are pretty cool. He's got a bunch of them here, and I'll read them off. Devin Singletary, 1,000 plus rushing yards.
Okay. No.
Josh Allen, 60 plus touchdowns, including the postseason. Matt Araizia / punt god. He's going to score a touchdown this year. He's got the Jaguars hosting a playoff game. He's got the Saints winning the NFC South. And he's got Greg Rizzo and Ed Oliver both having double-digit sacks. All right, there's a lot to unpack here. Good tweet, by the way, from Hansel. I think Singletary is a possibility. I don't agree with you there. You said no quickly. Josh Allen, 60 touchdowns. Are you including rushing and through the postseason? I mean, it is possible they might play four games in the postseason. That's a quarter of a season right there. So it's not impossible. Punt God, I mean, I guess you never know. The Jaguars hosting a playoff game. So that's for that to happen, that means that they would be, he's saying they would win the AFC South. They ain't ready to win the AFC South. Saints winning the NFC South, I could see. And Griselle and Ed Oliver having double-digit sacks. Let's not even talk about that. We'll save that because I know there's tweets coming up about them in a little while. Anything stand out besides that to you from this tweet?
I like to be smoking what Uber Hansen is smoking to have these bold takes. Yeah, I don't – they're all pretty damn bold, and they're like, I don't see – I mean, maybe Punk God gets a touchdown, I guess. But no, I mean, it's – yeah, they all seem – they seem insane to me. So, yeah, so good bold take that I don't agree with, that I don't see at all.
I don't think Devin Singletary running for 1,000 yards is that outlandish. I really don't.
It's outlandish. What do you think they're gonna do, man? They got three running backs. They're gonna run for 1,000.
I don't think James Cook is gonna run the football much at all. And
but you think in
whatever,
general they're going to run the football? You think they're going to run the football?
I think they're going to be up enough to run the football. And if you look back at the end of last season, Singletary came on.
He was getting 60 yards a game instead of five. Yeah, he came out real strong.
I'll say, though, that low-key, the Jaguars host in a playoff game, that might be the most bold take of all of them so far. But I'll tell you what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a real quick break, come back on the other side. I got plenty more of your Buffalo Bills takes. Be right back, folks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, I am back here with Joe, and we are diving into some of your Buffalo Bills hot takes. All right, so let's keep this party going here. We just did that one. Jason Kahn Hoenzi. I can't pronounce him, so I apologize here. All right, so these are – I'm going to read both of these because you want to talk about one guy thinks a lot of Jamison Crowder and the other dude don't think much of him at all. First, let's start with the latter. Jason tweets, Jamison Crowder is a camp cut. Bill's coaching staff is wowed by Shakir's pro readiness. He's talking about the rookie Khalil Shakir and still have iMac as a race in the hole. Super competitive roster means that we see a surprise cut or two. Crowder is my surprise. So Jason says that, and then Mark Kay, complete opposite, Jamison Crowder, 80-plus catches. Someone, I don't know, maybe there's somewhere in the middle. I think both of these are pretty bold. I do not think Jamison Crowder is getting cut. In terms of Jamison Crowder having 80-plus catches, I looked it up. His career best is 78 catches that he had with the New York Jets back in 2019. So I guess, again, I'm sure you agree that this is kind of somewhere in the middle is more likely what happens with him. But I should ask you, do you see him getting cut? And B, where do you fall with Jamison Crowder? You said you think Beasley's
I'm definitely closer to him getting 80 catches than I am to him getting cut. I mean, yeah, he's not getting cut. And again, I think a lot of people are overrating I think you're overrating the whole wide receiving core right now in terms of like, oh man, like this fifth round rookie is going to come in and then like turn heads and like they're going to cut a veteran. Like, what, are you kidding me right now? Like they have two wide receivers with at least what, 2 years experience on this roster right now. It's Diggs and it's Crowder. And Crowder catching, look,
Davis is going to his third year now.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, yeah, third. I mean, like in terms of veterans, like not sure. And Isaiah McKenzie, that's a shitty stat I just gave. My apologies. But Crowder caught 80 passes with Darnold of golf, for God's sakes. Like that's you get 80 passes in the Jets offense with Darnold. That's like the dead ball era of like getting like 30 home runs in like baseball in 1991 or something like that. Like he's playing with a shit quarterback, a shit offense, and he got almost 80 catches. If they put him in the slot, which is what all intents and purposes a lot of people have him going in there, and that's a that's a spot that Josh Allen has lit up in terms of getting the guy, getting the ball to that guy. I think he's close to, I think he can get like 60 catches. I really do, because that slot, I've always said this. I said this years ago. I said it today. I'll say it tomorrow and next time I'm on the podcast. That slot position in with Josh Allen and for that like New England typical offense, it gets a lot of play. And it does. Think you can put a guy, you put a lot of guys. It's like the running back, what it is, like what the running back position was 20 years ago. It's kind of like your safety net in a way. So I think that's closer. I don't think he's getting cut. I don't think a fifth round rookie is gonna.
He ain't getting cut. He's not getting.
Yeah, he's not pushing him. Like, I don't know.
I agree with the guy's take that there's, you know, a surprise or two every camp. That's reasonable to say.
Who was a surprise last year? I don't even remember. Who was a surprise last year?
I off the top of my head, I don't know. Maybe it'll come. Maybe there wasn't any big surprise. I don't think there were any big cuts last
year. Everyone
says
that. That's bullshit. No one gets typically there. LeSean McCoy was the anyway. LeSean McCoy was the bat. This is
the way I look at the receiving position, real quick here, and then we'll move on. You lose Emmanuel Sanders, who was productive but inconsistent and old, and Cole Beasley, who was banged up last year, and you replace it with Jameson Crowder, a guy who I think is underrated. I think I like him a lot. And Khalil Shakir, the rookie, who a lot of smart people are saying that he should have went earlier, that he could be a real steal. Isaiah McKenzie was back. And then the other thing is that I just think Gabe Davis is more grown now. He's more mature. He's been in the NFL longer, so he's ready to take that next step. So that's the big where the swing for me is the receivers are better now than they were. Because I think Beasley and Sanders were on their downside, whereas Crowder's still pretty good. Shakir's a rookie. And I think Gabe Davis is ascending, which kind of leads to the next tweet here, a couple about Khalil Shakir. And look, neither Joe and I are not going to sit here and sound like experts, like we know a lot about the guy. Seen film. He's, by all indications, the guy's a great fit. All right. Sean says Khalil Shakir, 500 plus yards receiving and 5 touchdowns in his first year. And then Stanley Cohen also has a tweet, Shakir, 5 touchdowns. So there's 2 guys who are saying that. And then in the NFL, the Lions make the playoffs, which would make Joe Yernan's day. That's for damn sure. Look, I like Shakir a lot too, but I think Jameson Crowder being in front of him and also OJ Howard with them playing more 2 tight end sets. Now that they got a good second tight end and James Cook coming out of the backfield, I think Shakir is going to be one of those guys. He's going to make the roster. No question about it. But he's going to be one of those guys, to your point with James Cook, I think he's going to be brought along slowly. So I think 500 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns is a very ambitious take for a fifth-round rookie.
How many touchdowns did Gabe Davis have as a rookie?
5 or 6.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. Like, Josh Allen's going to throw, like, between 35 and 40 touchdowns.
At least.
You know, so, yeah. So it's possible. And I do think – you know, one thing I'll definitely say is I do think I think I froze.
You're good.
Oh,
now.
Sorry. I'm back. I thought I froze for a second. Anyways, I'm back. Sorry. I do think the Bills schedule is a little bit tougher with offenses, so I can see a lot more shootouts happening this season. So maybe the touchdown passes will get inflated a little bit because of that. But I don't think the rookie him catching 5 is that big of a stretch?
It's not, but I think for him to catch 5, I think things would have to happen in front of him, like maybe Crowder going down or Davis or Diggs going down. Something would have to happen. But yeah, a lot of things might seem like a stretch on the surface, but they're not as much when certain things could happen. Like this next one, Sarge Cruz says Jake Kumerow catches 5 touchdowns. That ain't happening, I promise you that, unless, again, things happen. 2-3 receivers get hurt. Now all of a sudden, this guy's your second and third receiver for a month. Then anything's possible.
Look, if Butch Roll can catch 3 touchdowns a year, anything can happen, man.
I like Jake Kumerow. He's just there's a much better chance that Jake Kumerow is going to not make this football team than there is him catching 5 touchdowns. Although I will say Marquez Stevenson, I think, is a guy who's definitely in trouble, because even if the Bills keep 6, he's going to have a tough path to making this roster. All right, let's move on here. Frank Barber, hashtag at Hannibal Lecter, tweets, 750 yards and 10 touchdowns for Knox in 2022. I also think Edmonds has his best year as a pro and makes us all wish we extended him before the season. And then he's got an NFL take. Miami gets a wild card. Let me move on too, because I know there's another one that follows up this with Knox. Anthony Morton at TGM_1989. He says Knox leads all tight ends in touchdowns. And then he says Derrick Henry finishes the season with a sub 0.4 yards per carry for the first time in his career. We'll save the Miami for a little bit because I know there's other Miami tweets. And also Edmonds, I'll say this though. I don't think Edmonds is a divided guy. If you say he's a stud, half the room agrees with you. If you say he's a bum who's overrated, not a bum, but if you say he's overrated, half the audience is going to agree with you. So I don't think either way is a pro. I think it's a good point to say that if he has a great year, that the Bills should have extended him now. It might cost him more next year. But let's focus on Dawson Knox. 750 and 10 touchdowns is Frank's hot take. Dawson Knox last year had 587 yards and 9 touchdowns. So that would be a progression, but nothing outlandish. On the other hand, Anthony Morton saying Knox leads all tight ends in touchdowns. I mean, you're talking about guys like Mark Andrews and Derek Kelsey and a bunch of other people. And I just lost Joe, so I'm going to have to keep going for a minute. Hopefully he'll be back in a second. And I'll address these first. Like I said, Dawson Knox scoring 10 touchdowns and 750 yards receiving, which is what Frank tweeted. I think that's definitely realistic. Again, he had just under 600 last year. And I think that's realistic. And also, Derrick Henry, by the way, again, Dawson Knox is not going to lead the NFL in touchdowns. There's no way. Not with guys like Pitts and guys like Waller and Kelsey, Andrews. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple guys off the top of my head as well. Derrick Henry finishing the season with a sub 4.0 yards per carry. I get the spirit of that right now. I understand what that means, but I looked it up too. His career low yards per carry was 4.2 in 2017. And I think Anthony's suggesting that Tennessee, the teams are going to stack up against the run, because this is a team that lost A.J. Brown, and this is a team that cut Julio Jones. So that receiving core, on paper at least anyway, is nowhere near as good as it was last year. And I think Anthony's suggesting that teams are really going to gear up to stop the run. I could see him averaging low 4.2 or 4.3, but under 4.0, I can't see that happening. I'll tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to take one more quick commercial break, and I'm going to see if I can get Joe back. So be right back again after this break. I apologize.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, I am back here, and Joe is back again. I'm back from break. I pretty much took the mic just so I know where you missed, but we got to keep going here. Talked about Dawson Knox. And again, I think his stats, what the guy suggested, 10 touchdowns, 750 is attainable, leading all tight ends in the NFL in touchdowns. I guess crazier things have happened, but that's borderline ridiculous.
I could see a big year for Dawson Knox. I don't think leading all touchdowns, that seems a little bit bold. That's bold. That's asinine. I can see 750.
There's too many weapons on this team, and there's too many great tight ends in the NFL where they're their primary receiver. Again, Pitts in Atlanta. I mentioned Waller for the Raiders. Of course, Andrews for Baltimore, who literally has no receivers. So Lamar Jackson is going to be throwing to him a ton. There's some good TJ Hockenson in Detroit. There's a lot of great tight ends in the NFL. Dawson Knox has the potential to become one of them, but leading the NFL, that is really, really bold. Yeah, and I talked about Derrick Henry, man. Sub 4.0. I think teams are going to gear up to stop him, but still, I think he'll do that. All right, let's move on here. CS5699764. Who has that many numbers?
This is a bot. That's a bot. We shouldn't even be taking this guy.
It might be a bot. However, I mean, it's got Bill stuff, so he predicts, or she predicts, I don't know who this is, a 13-4 record. Josh Allen with 47 touchdown passes of Which eight go to new Bills tight end OJ Howard? All right. The record is very realistic to me. The 47 touchdowns, not impossible. So I'm not going to go there. That's a lot, though. Eight to OJ Howard. Well, is Dawson Knox get hurt? Again, Joe, some of these sound crazy on the surface, but they're not that. When is it Dawson Knox goes down in week three? And TJ or OJ Howard, your main guy for the season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. And also, OJ Howard has had injury concerns. So I don't, sure.
That doesn't do a lot for me there. Mike Monahan. All right. So here we go. Wow.
He used to write for my website, by the way, back in the Buffalo Wednesday.
You know what? Anyway. I remember all the responses that I got from this exercise. I believe this one might have been the very first. He's got the Bills going 16-1 this season.
Wow.
Josh Allen, 54 touchdowns. So you're talking a little over three per game, man. Dallas misses the playoffs. Again, we already kind of addressed Dallas, or at least I did. I don't think Dallas is going to miss the playoffs. That's a bold take. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win their division, though. That wouldn't shock me. I don't know where I fall. We're getting a lot of stuff about Josh Allen throwing 40, 45, 50, now 54 touchdowns in a season. That, by the way, would be one short of the NFL record by Peyton Manning. You look at it in one way, Joe. You're like, all right, you got an extra game now. So that does matter. You got 17 games instead of 16. But even then, that's still like 3.1, 3.2 touchdowns per game. It doesn't sound like that much. But you have one or two games where the offense ain't clicking in, or you run the ball for two or three touchdowns and you don't throw any, it could get lopsided real quick. Look, we asked for bold. This is bold. 54 touchdowns. That's a lot.
Yeah.
16-1, by the way. 16-1
to me feels like the boldest of these takes.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the boldest. I mean, 54, I don't want to blame the weather, but you know what? I would love to know which quarterback. Actually, it would be Brady. Brady had he had the most touchdowns up until Mahomes recently, or Manning, excuse me, of like a Northeast quarterback who played in the elements and like had to like go through all that stuff. Right. 54 touchdown passes feels like it feels a little bit out of no. That feels. But that's more realistic than I would say 16-1. I can't see them going 16-1.
All three of those. I mean, again, those are three pretty spicy bold takes. Bills 16-1, Josh 54 touchdowns, and Dallas missing the playoffs. Let's continue at PDIGGY22. Bills get the number one seed. Chiefs missed the playoffs, and then he says Tom Brady should have stayed retired. Now I'm going to tell you this right now, Joe. I don't think I published every single tweet that had the Chiefs missing the playoffs, but I promise you this, there was several of them who say the Chiefs missed the playoffs and Tom Brady should have stayed retired. This tweet interests me because I'm going to tell you right now, all three of these, you clearly don't agree with at least the Kansas City part. I could see all three of these happening. I could see the Bills getting the number one seed. I think it's very possible that Tom Brady finally sort of falls off that cliff. I mean, Tampa Bay's got a lot of their team back, but they've lost some. And again, at some point, the guy's got to decline, man. Kansas City missing the playoffs. I did a show about two or three weeks ago where I tiered every AFC team, one of six tiers. And I had the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs all in the first tier. Because you still got Mahomes, you still got Kelsey. I still think they deserve to be there. But losing Tyreek Hill is big. I don't think their defense is that good. And I don't know, man. The AFC West, Joe, it's just loaded. There's going to be a good team in that division that don't make the playoffs. Denver loaded up. I think the Chargers are very good. And the Raiders are a good team who made the playoffs last year and got Davante Adams. I don't think it's bold.
It's crazy.
I think it's asinine.
Yeah, sorry. I can't. The Chiefs were that. The Chiefs probably should have made the Super Bowl if they didn't like fall asleep in the second half against the Bengals and like kind of just went through the mo. Yes, the Hill leaving is a huge deal, no doubt. But Mahomes is arguably the best player in the world, like right now. He is.
I agree.
And I know. Like so now they're not missing.
They're more. Put it this way. I think they're far more vulnerable now than they've been at any point. in the last 4 years.
Though. I think the Raiders are bullshit. I won't get into that yet because I'm assuming eventually you're gonna ask me for a bold take. So
judging
all these damn people.
All right, let's do one or two more of these, and then we're going to wrap up here for part one. And again, we will be continuing this. We'll do a part two next week. Tons of really good tweets from fans. Buffalo history at Ryan Spencer 21. He's got a bunch of them here. Bills go 13-4, starting 3-0 before losing a shootout in Baltimore. We're not going to go 17-0. He says the Colts.
That's bold. We're not going 17-0. Okay.
Well, that was just in parentheses. I should have added.
I know.
Colts will win the AFC South, Chargers the West, and Ravens the North. AFC East finishes Bills, Dolphins, and then a tie between the Patriots and the Jets. And he says James Cook will have more than 500 yards receiving. I'll tell you what. I look at this, and every single thing, quite literally, on this tweet from Brian Spencer. I think realistically, when we call this bold, I don't know.
These are bold takes. They're not at all.
I think these are good takes. I think these are takes that have a very good chance of happening. And again, for people who are listening and not watching, Bills going 13-4, starting 3-0 first, and then they lose a shootout in Baltimore. Colts AFC South, Chargers the West, Ravens the North, and then he's got the Bills, Dolphins, and then a tie New England and the Jets, and James Cook having more than 500 yards receiving. I literally see every single thing in there potentially happening.
Yeah, I can see the running back thing. These people are just, I don't know, man. The whole making James, I get he was really good in college. People are high on him coming out.
I'm
very skeptical about them. Again, this isn't mostly about the player. It's about the scheme of getting running backs involved. I agree.
And I want to add, Joel, on the draft, I don't even think you were on Twitter. You were back after your little Lent break. But anyway, after night one of the draft, I quite literally tweeted, please give me James Cook in round two. In fact, the morning of round two, I tweeted good morning only to James Cook. And then the Bills drafted him. So I was obviously happy. That said, it's going to take some time for him to flourish. But anyway, I do. I think that's a very
well. If you wanted them to get Cook, then he's going to be terrible. Then so great. Thanks
no,
a lot,
he's not. Dude. He's going to be good. And I
you wanted him. You're never right. Come on. Five, no, I'm just kidding.
You got a calculator in front of you. What's 500 times or divided by 17?
That would be I think 30 yards roughly. Yeah, it would be like close to that. I think
I have to do it right now because now I can't let go of this. 20. That's 30. You know what? James Cook will get 500 yards receiving this year. That's 29 yards receiving per game. I could see that happen. Absolutely. All right, let's continue here. Dale Flood, at Dale Flood. He says, Bills 3-4 pre-week bye, then they run the table post-bye and go 13-4. My first thought when I saw this, because I remember my initial schedule reaction, I was like, damn, the Bills got a rough-ass early schedule, and then it opens up a lot. I think, again, maybe not, I don't know if this is bold. I almost feel like this is pretty, this could happen. 3-4 pre-week bye. Let's talk about that first. And I, for the purpose of this, if you're watching on YouTube, I did pull up their schedule. Their first seven games at the Rams, at home against Tennessee on Monday Night Football, at Miami, at Baltimore, Pittsburgh, at Kansas City. That's six. And then they got Green Bay. No, he said post bye though. So he's got to be wrong. Or no, Kansas City's before the bye. So that's seven games there, right? One, two, three. No, there's only six games before the bye.
Can you count? Yeah, it's seven of them right. Green Bay. No,
he said 3-4 post-bye, but there's only six games. But let's add Green Bay as that seventh game. You got at the Rams, at Miami, at Baltimore, at home against Green Bay, at Kansas City. It's possible, very possible, that the Bills could struggle early in the season because they're playing a lot of tough teams. It could happen. Those are a lot of good football teams on paper. But then you look after that Green Bay game, and this is where you're talking about running the table. You got at the Jets, home against Minnesota, home against Cleveland, at Detroit, at New England, home against the Jets, home against Miami, at Chicago, at Cincy on Monday night, who you don't even think might not make the playoffs, and New England at home to end the season. It's not crazy to me.
It's not a terrible take. I mean, look, this first 7 weeks is brutal. Like, I could see them losing to the Rams, to Baltimore, to Kansas City, to Green Bay. Like, that's four losses. But I think the spread is going to be definitely, like, very close in terms of that. So I could totally see that happening.
Like, yeah.
And then the running the table, like that back half of the schedule. I mean, I think maybe Cincinnati could be tough.
It is
going to be tough. Like that's going to be tough. And then like Cleveland, maybe like depends if Deshaun Watson is playing or not. But you know, I could see that guy's take being correct. And maybe being bold. I mean, it depends. Like some, I don't know how many people realistically look at the schedule and go, "We're going to go here until like the regular season is up and running." Then you start predicting. Right. But yeah, I can see that.
All right, last one here for today. It comes from Kev at KMafia716. This is not bold because they're literally the betting favorites, but I'll read what he says. He says the Bills win the Super Bowl. And then he says, which by the way, we'll talk about this part two, which will air next week as well, because he's not the only guy who's saying this. The Giants will win the NFC East. All right, the Bills winning the Super Bowl is not bold. We're not going to predict if the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl right now. It's realistic. Joe and I both know that. Why are people saying the Giants can win the NFC East? That's what I don't understand at all. Dallas and Philly are in that division. I get the Buffalo connection now with Dable being the head coach, but Daniel Jones hasn't proven anything. And as far as I know, the Giants haven't like overhauled their team completely or something. They're not good. That's a process, just like the Bills. It's going to be a process to get good.
I mean, the NFC East is still whacked. I mean, I know like last year Dallas ran away with it pretty much, and Philly kind of like, I don't know. No one really had Philly like going there, but it's always kind of a Jekyll and Hyde division. So I don't think it's going to happen. But yeah, it seems like a little bit of a ludicrous take.
It's bold.
But here's the thing. Here's how we're going to wrap this up, Pat, because you know me, I always overstep my boundaries. I'm going to give you one bold take from me on each end of this podcast. So I'm going to give you a bold take, and then in the second part at the end, I'll give you a second.
All right, go ahead, man.
Here's my bold take. The Bills defense will finish in the bottom half of the league.
Whoa.
Is that a bold take for you?
That's bold as hell. That might be as bold as any take that we read today.
And I'm saying that because at the end of the day, and I've been saying this forever, the Bills' defense, when it comes to going against really good offenses, and next year they go against a lot of really good offenses, they kind of struggle. And they have a lot of good quarterbacks they're going against next year. I think they'll be in that 15 to 16 range. So when I say bottom half, that's where it's going to be, between 15 and 20. They're going to be.
They were number one last year, so to fall into the second half after picking up Von Miller and adding some other pieces, that's a bold
take. That doesn't mean they're going to be a disaster. Maybe there'll be games where they do well in. But really? I think in totality, they're going to finish in the bottom half.
We'll definitely expand. We'll expand on that in part two of this. And again, thank you everybody for watching, everybody for listening. So at Buffalo Wins on Twitter says the Bills are going to finish in the bottom half of the league.
Of defense, not like the whole thing. Their defense will.
Guys, make sure you tune in Friday. Joe Yearning, Casual Friday. I'll be talking to him. He's actually in South Carolina, so I'll be doing it old school with him on a phone. So that's going to be audio only. And again, we will be back next week with part two, your biggest Buffalo Bills and NFL boldest 2022 season predictions. Talk to you guys soon.